I've been really excited about the last two sermons and this one today. Now, I don't know how many of you noticed. Some of you have. Some, it might just go over your head. But on our anniversary, the Lord gave me a special message for us. And I want to remind you again, in case you forgot, to be expecting it. Because I know when he speaks to me, and I know when I deliver it, and I know the anointing that I feel on it when it goes out. And so he has been speaking, I would say, very prophetically to us since that anniversary on the August 10th, our 29th anniversary. Let me welcome all of you here today. We got any guests or those that are with us, God bless you. Always good to have you, Landmark. Bless you, brother. So on August 10th, at first I thought it was a rather peculiar message to bring on the 29th anniversary. But you know what? I really don't care. When God speaks, I'll just run with it. And I talked to you about, now I'm going to have to run through these because this isn't my message. I don't want to get in quicksand here because the word is so good. You can just stay right there. But listen quickly, open your heart. Father, open our hearts today to hear the word of the Lord. Your spirit said the book of Revelation, let him who has an ear to hear, hear. And Lord, we all have a spirit ear here. We have natural ears, so let it sink down into our ears, into our spirit. We give you praise in Jesus' name. So on that day, we talked about Ruth and Naomi, and they had moved away from their hometown because Ruth's husband wanted to move down to Moab, which means a faraway place. And so when they moved down there, Ruth and her husband and the two older boys, they were older teenagers or young men in their 20s, well, they got married. So they took women. And but as time went by, Dad and the two boys died. So here was Ruth and these two young widows. They're all widows now. And there was a poverty, there was a famine in Judah where they lived, and so things just went from bad to worse. And now they're widows, now they're living in poverty, and they don't have men to help them make the living, so it was really, really bad for them. So one day, Ruth said, hey girls, I heard that the bread is back up in the house of bread at Judah. I'm going to go back to my hometown. So she said, you girls need to stay here, because, you know, you're young, you'll get another husband, so stay right here. And boy, one of them just kissed her goodbye and said, see you later, mother-in-law. And the other one said, oh no, I'm going with you, Naomi. I'm going to stay with you. Wherever you go, I'll go. Where you die, I'll die. Your God will be my God. No, I'm going. So they went up there, and God so blessed them. Now remember a couple of things right here, I'm telling you. The Bible, and I told you this, the Bible says that young Ruth, mama stayed at home, she's older, and so young Ruth goes out into the field to work, and she goes out to the barley field, and they were so poor that she became an instant field worker and just went to the edge of the field where the others were picking up the crops, and she just picked up the little scraps along the edge and took home a little apron home to Ruth. And then she goes back the next day, and she was a very pretty girl. And Boaz rode by on his horse, and he said, who's that pretty girl? And they said, oh, that's Naomi's daughter-in-law, excuse me. That's Naomi's daughter-in-law. Well, everybody knew Naomi. Her and her husband were very popular there. But she came back a different woman. She wasn't happy. She was a widow. She was poor. They were in poverty. And he said, oh, listen, here's what I want you to know. He said, now, he called all those field workers around. He said, I want you to drop handfuls of purpose right in front of her. So you drop huge piles of barley in front of her on purpose and let her pick that up. Now, she did. She took it home. So they went. And then, long story short, she married him. So she went from nothing to one of the wealthiest women in the land. So she married, and of course they made Ruth wealthy, And they gave birth, Boaz and Ruth gave birth to a little baby named Obed, who became the grandparent of David. Okay, I said I wasn't going to get bogged down, but I'm giving you way too much information again. But he said, well, what is she doing? Boaz says, what is she doing? And they said, oh, she takes such good care of her mother-in-law. She's taking such good care of her mother-in-law. That's what she's doing. And when they dropped all these handfuls of purpose in front of her, she says to Boaz, when he fell in love with her and wanted to marry her, she said, why are you doing this to me? Why are you showing me such favor? You know what he said? It wasn't because of what he told other people. She was so good to her mother-in-law. It wasn't because she was beautiful or any of those things. He said, I heard the way you take care of your mother-in-law. And that's what the Lord wanted me to tell you on the 10th. On our anniversary, he saw what she was giving. He saw her taking care of her mother-in-law. Care providing is not easy. If I ask you all that are care providing, you'd say, oh, no, it's just not easy. But it is hard. But there's a reward that's attached to it that is amazing. And so I told you, you may have forgotten, but on August 10th, I told you God saw, he heard, and he saw what you've been doing. And he saw how good you've been to some people. He saw what you gave. He saw what you gave in your offering on that Sunday. And I know you, some of you worked your rear ends off to get that $300. Some of you just took it out of your bank account. Some just took it out of your pocket. Didn't matter what you did. Jesus said to tell you, he saw it. And he was going to put handfuls of purpose, I mean on purpose, just blessings in front of you just because he wanted to. Just because he said, I love you and I see you. And Boaz is a picture of Jesus. Okay, so then we go up to last weekend. And I talked to you about transformation. Remember the little video of Guatemala? Do you remember the little video of Guatemala? All right. So we watched that little video, and they were so stricken in poverty. They were so desperate. Drunks were laying on the sidewalks. Oh, they had nothing to eat. It was just horrible. There was famine, and God blessed them, and he brought a transformation. Now, Ruth and Naomi were desperate, but he blessed them with food and blessing. It was like a revival to them, a transformation. They went from widows to mother and being cared for and blessed. And they were both desperate. They were hanging by a thread. Have you ever said, I'm hanging by a thread? Have you ever read the story? Where Joshua and Paul, they were running from the enemy, and he ran to the prophet Rahab's house. She was a prostitute. And they ran in there, and she said, I'll save you and I'll hide you if when you get free, if you'll protect me. Joshua and Caleb. Will you hide me? Will you hide me? And they said, yeah, it was Joshua said, drop the red string down. Drop that red string down, which was representing the blood of Jesus. And if we come back and we see you drop that scarlet cord down, then we'll know we're safe. She says, well, will you save me and my family if I do that? And they said, write it down. We will save you and your family. Well, when COVID came, Sharon Rogers took that to heart. And I drive past her beautiful yellow home almost every day when I went home. And there was a red cord all the way around her front door. She has a care home. Her staff would come and go, and there was that red cord. What was it representing? The blood of Jesus. And it kept you safe. It was a blessing. And so the Lord wanted me to tell you last week that there is a transformation. Don't run, because California, we're a fertile land, and our land is blessed. Our garden is blessed. Our food is blessed. But he said, don't take off running. He knows there's giants in this land. You and I know that there's giants in the land. But he told us, now just be still, focus, and stay at the cross. It's going to be all right for California, because last week, I am going to transform California. It's not a revival, it's a transformation. And I'm going to transform my people, my church. The church is me, the church is you, that is the individual. One person, just like Ruth, just like Naomi, just like Guatemala, just like California. So I want you all to be paying attention to your handfuls of purpose. I'm telling you, you may have already ran onto a handful of purpose right in front of you at work the other day. And if you haven't, you will. You say, well, things are like this, Pastor, and it was my fault. I brought that on myself. God said, I know you bring on a lot of things yourself, but I will have mercy and I'll pity who I want to pity. I will pity my people. I will love you anyway, just like you do your children. So just hang on, maintain. The handfuls of purpose are there, and the transformation, hallelujah, is upon God's people. Well, let me take you, turn with me now, over to, let's go here together, over to 2 Kings. I'm going to show you a little story. I'm going to read these verses. I'm going to read 6 verses, okay, before we go to today's message. But now I told you that there were giants in the land, which means there's giants that try to take your home, try to take your mind, try to take your marriage, try to take your kids, try to take your ministry, try to take your focus, your vision, try to take everything you've got. So those giants are there, but you've got to stay here, because the word of God is God's presence. Now, if you don't stay here, you're going to get tangled up in this mess, because the world is a real mess. It's a fallen world, so you got to be careful. So get this in there so you'll have something, amen, to stand on. So I'm going to talk to you today, last week, about transformation, but today, restoration. And I'll prove to you, God told this lady that he was going to restore all to her. But I'll take you back where he says, I'm going to restore to you, all right? So, Brother Robert, restoration will be the title of my message, or I will restore all, just so you'll know. All right? Restore, let me tell you what restore means. You say, I know what it means. Well, let me tell you what the dictionary says it means. It means to give back, to put again into existence, to bring back to the former or the original state of something, to put back just the way it was. Let me see. I don't know if you guys can show this or not. David, would you come here, please? Can you focus on this, Kathy, or you can't even focus on it? Huh? They can't? Okay. That's all right. Got it. Thank you. All right. So I did Cliff Wiggins' funeral service when our sweet brother Cliff died. Well, I lived across the street from them for a while, and Clifford had found this. Sorry, I wasn't as good a track as I thought. What was the year of that Chevy? 54? 56. So he found this old 56 Chevy, like a lot of you guys do, okay? And so he found it. It was horrible. And then he fixed it up, man, painted it candy apple red. It was just so beautiful. And so anyway, I thought at his service, it meant so much to him, and he really didn't live to see it. I think he may have taken a ride in it, one ride. And they brought it by his bedside window and showed him the car after it was painted. And so I guess the Holy Spirit, I'm sure he brought this to me. So I wrote a track, and I read it at the funeral service. And I think we gave them out to everybody that was there. So let me read this to you. I wanted it up on the screen, but we're still learning, all right? Here's what the old 54 Chevy said. I let it speak for itself. It says, I was tired, and I was exhausted, and I needed a new engine. I needed new tires. I needed windows. I needed new paint. And then my new owner found me. And he restored me and made me beautiful. Now I'm brand new. He is so proud of me, and boy, was he ever. At one time, my life needed to be restored, just like this 56. There it was. I did put it down. At one time, now it's Clifford speaking, I did need to be restored like this 56. He says, I needed a new heart, and I needed a new spirit, a new soul, and a new body. But Jesus found me and restored me and made me brand new. And now I am completely restored. Amen? All right, let me read you one more. So my brother had to found this, I think it's an Oldsmobile, an old, ugly Oldsmobile sitting out in some shed somewhere out in a grassy field. It says the same thing. Long ago, I needed to be restored. I was tired. I was exhausted. I needed a new engine, new tires, new windows, new paint. And then my owner found me. He restored me to this beautiful black old classic car. It's amazing. Still sits in his garage today. He restored me, made me beautiful. Now I'm brand new. He's so proud of me. Yes, he is. He shows everybody what's under that cover. At one time, my life needed to be restored like this 47 Oldsmobile. I needed a new heart, new spirit, new soul, and a new body. And Jesus found me, restored me, and made me brand new. Amen? So that's what he did to his church. But to be restored, remember what it means. It means to give back, to put together again, back to the original existence, bring back to its former or original state. Okay, but we got saved. And maybe some detoured. We've all detoured at one time in our life or another. And so you look back and you're like, I can't get past that. I can't get past that. Oh, no, you can't. But he takes this old guy and this old guy and turns you into this. You look very nice out there today. You haven't always looked that nice. No, if people only knew. And some still say, boy, I could use some of that restoration today. Well, it's just what you're going to get. Because God said, not Paulette said, God said, that's how I know. So I can write it down when he says it. So have you ever noticed, though, when you get one thing fixed, what happens? Here comes something else. One time I preached a message years ago called, If It's Not One Thing, is Something Else. Well, that was the deal with this woman I'm about to tell you about. You've all heard of the Shunammite woman. And she's the one that couldn't have children, but she built the house for Elisha, the prophet. They knew he was a wonderful man of God. And she says to her husband, I want to build him a little room onto our house. And so she built him a house with a put a little desk in and a bed and a light. And a chair. And so everything was well. And Elisha says to his servant, he says, hey, what's that woman need? I'd like to give them something for taking good care of me. And so Gehazi went to her and he said, hey, what would you like to have? The prophet wants to know. He wants to bless you for taking care of me. Oh, I don't need anything. We're blessed. Got a good family. We're blessed financially. I don't need anything. But Gehazi heard that they couldn't have children, that her womb was barren. And he says to her, did I hear that you're barren? And she says, yes. And he said, well, the prophet says you're going to have a baby. And she said, don't lie to me. And don't even start. In fact, she said that to Elijah. Well, she gets the baby, all right? So she goes from being pretty blessed to not having a child like she wanted. And now she has the child. He's grown up. They quote commentary say he's about 20, give or take. No one really knows, I don't think. And so he died. He had a bad headache out in the field. He was working. And he says, my head, my head. And Mama picks him up and ran him over to Dad. And And he says, what's the matter? She said, oh, all is well. She took him home and put him in the prophet's bedroom, laid him on the bed. Well, the boy gets resurrected. You know that story. He gets resurrected. Now, everything's going along good again. Okay, he's healed. So she went blessing, blessing, blessing. All right, now, let's look at 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 1. Read these six verses. I'll show you. I hope you can see them. Then Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had done what to? Restored. I mean, the boy was dead or sleeping. And he restored him, put him back in his original way, and restored him. He restored him to life, saying, arise. Arise and go, you and your household. He's speaking to his mother now. Let me read that again. Then Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine, and furthermore, it will come upon the land for 7 years. 7 years. So the woman arose and did according to the saying of the man of God, and she went into her house, and she went with her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines, my Lord, the Philistines, for 7 years. And it came to pass at the end of 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to make an appeal to the king for her house and for her land. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, and said, tell me, please, all the great things that Elisha has done. And now it happened as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead to life, that there was the woman whose son he had restored to life, appealing to the king for her house and her land. And Gehazi said, my Lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed a certain officer to her, saying, oh, listen, look. He said, now restore all that was hers and all the proceeds of the field. From that day, she left the land until now. Whew, what a story. Now, it's all going along pretty good. And I think if a man of God like this tells you to do something, he's got a proven word. You can take it to the bank. But this prophet is telling her, now look, God has called for a famine on the land. They were rejecting God, so now it's judgment. He says, now, God has called for this famine, and it's going to be upon the earth for 7 years. So let me encourage you this morning that when you go into a season, it's not just an ongoing that'll never end. Wouldn't it be nice if, well, I don't know if it'd be nice. You don't want to know it's going to take 2 years or 5 years or 10 or 20. But he said that'll be on the land for 7 years. So in other words, there'll be an end to it. And there was, just like he told her. But she went down to where the Philistines were, and she lived in this horrible place. It would be like literally going to Gaza. The Palestinians, that's who they are today. The Palestinians are still acting up. They're still being rude. They're still being horrible, murderous people. But she goes down to the Philistines and has to deal with those corrupt Philistines every day of her life, and probably her children. Lord knows what happened to those poor people while they were down there. But she went down there, and then it says, look at what it says, and it stayed on the land for 7 years. So the woman rose and went, dwelt there with the Philistines for 7 years. Verse 3, came to pass at the end. Somebody say, at the end, whatever you're going through will have an end. It will. That mess, it'll come to naught. Or those hard times, the suffering, the pain. It came to pass at the end of 7 years that the woman returned from that land of the Philistines, And she went and made an appeal to the king. She went to talk to him. She knew where to go. You and I know where to go. When we're running around out here in this world with the Philistines and the giants and the mess and the stuff, and you don't know what to do or how to get out of it, she knew where to go. She appealed to the king. She got back, and she appealed to him. I'll bet you appealed to him just yesterday. I appealed to him this morning about this message. You know where to go. And so while she was coming in there to make her appeal, she was going to ask God, look, Lord, I left my little house. I left my home, and I left my land. I don't know how much land she had. Maybe a lot, maybe a little. But she left her land, her property, her house. And she was going to ask him if he would give her favor enough to give her back her land and her house. But while she was coming, here came Gehazi, his servant. And I believe he's a picture of the Holy Spirit. And he says, Gehazi, the king says, would you tell me about all those miracles Elisha did? I've heard about him, but I didn't see them. The Bible says that Elisha did 16 miracles. 16. But Elijah, his mentor, Elijah did 16, and Elisha did double. Some say 32. Well, that would be double. He doubled the miracles that his mentor did. And he said, well, tell me about those things. I want to hear what they did. And all of a sudden, Gehazi looks up, and there's this woman. And the boy that Elisha raised from the dead, or restored. There they stand, and Gehazi had just gasped, and he took a big breath, and he goes, that's her. This is the woman. This is the boy that he restored to life. And so she walks up, and it says there again that she made her appeal. Look at this, verse 6. And when the king asked the woman, in other words, is this right? Is this true? She told him. So the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, restore, there's that word, restore. Restore, this woman's worn out, tired. Feels like she's out in the field by herself. That man doesn't know where to go or what else to do. Worn out. So he told that officer, he said, I want you to restore all that was hers, all of it, and all of the proceeds of the field from the day that she left until the land now. In other words, somebody was working her land while she was gone. And he said, I want to make sure that everything the devil stole from her, every penny, every cent is restored to her from then until now. Every ounce of pain, every ounce of shame, every ounce of suffering. See, the Bible says, and I'll show you in a minute, that God, when we repent, he reconciles us to him. And he said, now you give her back everything plus. Amen. But there's one thing I believe that Ruth, well, not, I don't believe it's according to the word, you'll see it. One thing that Ruth and Naomi, the Shunammite woman, and these that we've told you about today, they had in common, you know, well, let's go over to the book of Joel, and you'll see the people, God's people in Israel, they had one thing in common. They were two through. They were hanging by, well, let's just use that thread again, hanging by a thread. You've heard people say, you're on my last nerve. Didn't have anything else to give. They were desperate. These people were absolutely desperate. All right, if you want to go over to Joel with me, I hope I gave that to you ladies. The book of Joel, chapter 2, and we'll quit here. God sent, again, he sent famine. He sent famine to them, and here it says he sent an army of locusts on Israel. They were disobedient. And I'm telling you, these locusts stripped that land bare. Everything that was green was stripped. I think I'll read verse 1. Miss Kathy, by the way, welcome home, Kathy. We missed you. Book of Joel, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, verse 2. Hear this, you elders, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Look at this. Here's what you and I said during COVID. And we'll say it again. Believe me, we'll say it again toward the end of time. Look at verse 2. Hear this, you elders, give ear to this, inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days? Or even in the days of your fathers? Tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children and their children another generation. See, our children are going to remember. They're going to tell what they saw during COVID. Some of you are going through some things right now, and you'll never forget it. You'll say, I've never seen anything like this. People all over America are saying the same thing. I've never just seen anything like it as today. Verse 4. You that's never seen this before, just try to grasp it, okay? I'm not going to elaborate on it, but look at it. What the chewing locust left, the swarming locust came by and has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the crawling locust has eaten. And what the crawling locust left, the consuming locust has eaten. It's like you had a little bit left, and now that's gone. You had a little bit of peace, now where's that? You had a little money, now that's gone. Seems that it's from chewing to swarming to swarming to crawling locust and then consuming that just wants to eat it all. All right. I'll turn the page because here's where we're going to go, and I'll let you know later in the mid-September we'll call a fast. We'll have 5 nights of fasting down here at the church and prayer. Every evening we'll come here, fast and pray to get ready for the mighty harvest that's upon us. When I hear the word transformation and I hear the word restoration, and I hear the word handfuls of purpose, I think we better be a people to get ourselves ready for it. Amen? All right. So here's what he says to us, Joel chapter 1, verse 14. Consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the elders and the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. Amen? Cry out to the Lord. That's what we'll do. All right. Now I want to take you over to the good news. Here's what God says to you and to me and everyone that would repent and give our hearts to Him. Verse 25, chapter 2, verse 25. So, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. And you will eat in plenty, and you will be so satisfied. Right now you may feel miserable because you're still in the season. You're still in that place where you're not sure what's happening. But he said, oh, you will be so satisfied with plenty, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. I want you to go back up before I quit to verse 18. Look how sweet the Lord is when His people turn to Him and they make their appeal to Him. Look how awesome we sing the goodness of God. Look at verse 18, chapter 2, verse 18. And then the Lord will be zealous for His land. Look at this. And He will pity His people. Do you ever pity your child or maybe your little grandson, your child? They're so sweet and they mean well in what they do, and you pity them. God says, oh, I saw your heart. I know you messed up, but I know your heart. I know you love me, and I see you appealing to me because I'm the only one in the world that can help you. So He said, I pity my people, and the Lord will answer and say to His people, I'm reading in verse 19. Behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil. Here it is again. And you will be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among nations or among men. Verse 20, for I will remove far away from you the northern army, and I will drive him away into a barren and desolate land with his face toward the eastern sea and his back toward the western sea. His stench will come up and his foul odor will rise because he has done monstrous things. But God says, but I will take care of you, so don't you dare be afraid. Hallelujah. I will restore all to you as I did the Shunammite. I will put handfuls of purpose in front of you on purpose. He will get you to the right place at the right time. It says that Ruth just happened into Boaz's field. It said the Shunammite woman just happened in that day when the king was talking to Gehazi to get that full restoration. And so will we, you and me. You'll just be at the right place at the right time to get that handful of purpose. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, church, we're in good hands. Amen. Matthew Henry said this in the commentary. He said, you will be comforted according to the time that you have been afflicted. If you've been afflicted for a year, 10 years, 25 years, all of your life, from childhood up, he said, it doesn't matter to me. I'll just restore all of those years. Somebody ought to give God the glory. I'll just take care of all those years that northern army stole from you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Remember when the jailer beat Paul and Silas, beat their backs bloody. And then God shook the jail and they all got out. It scared those jailers so bad they came out and said to Paul, what must we do to be saved? Can we take you to our house? And the enemy began to wash their wounds. They beat their backs with whips. And yet they said, let us wash you up and then come to our house for dinner. And the Bible says that the jailer and their household were all saved. They were all saved. There's going to be a deliverance, not only in us, but in our children. There will be those deliverances that you say your children you thought would never get free. Oh, no, they're involved in this. They're all involved. He said, nothing's too hard for me. I can take that devil and cast him out just like I did the northern army. I'll get him out, and I can set you free. That's the God that we store. Church, I tell you, he will restore these years. I don't know about you, but all these sweet people were desperate. That woman was desperate to get her house back, her land back. We're desperate to get some things we really need. We're desperate people of God. We know stuff. We've got to have some things. We've got to have change. Amen? Sodala babahasa. We're desperate people, Lord. Those people that came to you were desperate. But we've been taught by the last 30 years, don't ask you twice. Just say it and then worship. Just say it and worship. You don't have to say please. You don't have to be desperate. But Lord, every one of these people. Jesus, when you were on that cross, you said, why, Lord, have you forsaken me? I think you were pretty desperate because you were taking our place. So, Lord, we honor you today. Hallelujah. People, let him restore you right now. I'm telling you, I feel such an anointing here, like those old cars. They were sent out in the field. Their paint was off. They didn't look very good. They didn't even have tires to run on. Some of them didn't even have engines. Brother Roman has trash heaps out at his house with nothing, but he'll make something. Just like God will make something out of our nothing. Out of our nothing, even California. Even the transformation of our state and our nation. Lord, it's beginning. Help us not to miss it. I don't want to miss it. We've got to be ready. We're raising up another generation, Lord. we'd go into these restaurants in our little town. We've got to walk in there, not Bible thumping, but being you, epistles. People aren't going to read their Bibles, but they'll read us. They won't come to church to see you, but they'll see us. Hallelujah. How many is desperate for him? Some are desperate for him. Some are satisfied, got everything you need. I don't need anything else. There was a group of people that said that. Jesus said, you say you're rich and you have need of nothing. But he says, I say you're wretched and poor and blind. And if you don't need any material thing, we need him. And much more of him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless your name. We bless your name. Live big inside of us, Lord. Who cares how big we look on the outside? How strong? Who are we inside? Make us strong. Not battle-worn, but full of you, Holy Ghost. Come on, Gehazi. Come on, Boaz. Our Jesus, our Holy Spirit, our Father. Wonderful Lord and Savior. Well, let me remind you today to be looking for your handfuls of purpose. Because they'll just come right to you. You'll walk right upon them. And the restoration and the transformation is upon us. Amen? Will the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his face towards you, and let you find handfuls of purpose right out of the blue. Something you weren't expecting, just right in front of your face because of who he is. May you be blessed, restored, and transformed beginning this day on August 24th. You had handfuls on August 10th. I think it was 19 where he said, I've transformed and I am transforming. Today I am restoring. We'll see where we go next week. Be praying for me. Pray for us that we hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Be blessed. Be safe. And may you stay away from all harm and danger. Miss Nancy?